as Brother Bob said, as our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, as you know, we've been sharing on the incorruptible seed. And we have pretty much known that we have the incorruptible seed within us, but I don't think that we have really known that we are that incorruptible seed. It is not something we have, it is something that we are. And I would like to ask you the question again, I've asked a couple of times this weekend, is who told you that you were a sinner? I can guarantee you that you have never heard God speak in your spirit and tell you you are a sinner. We have only received that information and accepted that information because it has come from our religious teachers and leaders. Now, if there ever was such a thing as a sinner being born, it was not possible after the cross. Impossible. You know, Paul told us that God is a mystery. In fact, the scriptures reveal to us that this is a mystery. But yet there is a point in time, and again, the Bible speaks both to individuals and to the corporate Christ, the corporate body. But there is a time that comes when, in Revelation, it says, when you hear the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be fulfilled. And the only way the mystery of God is fulfilled is when you realize the kernel of that mystery is God manifested in the flesh. And not just in a man, but in all men. The mystery of God will be complete when every man is a manifestation of God in the flesh. And again, when I use the word man, I use it the way the scriptures use it. Man means mankind. It does not mean male. All of mankind, when they reveal experientially and walk as God on this earth, the mystery of God will be fulfilled. And it seems as though everything in this physical, so-called physical world that we see that is temporal is absolutely anti this manifestation of God in the flesh. You see, no matter how religious you are, no matter how much you love God, no matter how many times you go to church, you might fast, you might pray, you might do all of the things, there is something in this carnal mind that will not even suggest to you that you are God on this earth. And it is that serpentine lie that keeps you in this state of perceiving yourself as something other than what God is. That was the lie in the beginning, and that's the lie today. So who told you you were a sinner? In 1 Corinthians 15, 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Now we all know if there is a first man, there can be a second man, a third man, a fourth man. There can be an unlimited number of men, beginning with the first man. But after the last man, there can be no other men. You see, there can be no Adam after Christ. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we heard a song sang here yesterday. I had never heard it before, but I love it. I am not in Adam, and Adam is not in me. You see, Jesus, the Christ, was the last Adam. After Christ, there are no more Adams. There are only incarnations of God on the earth. And I know we haven't thought of ourselves as that, and that is the problem. But nevertheless, you and I are incarnations of God in this earth. We are not born sinners. And you say, you might think, well, Gary, are you saying that we don't need redemption anymore? Are you throwing out the cross? You have to understand that your redemption took place 2,000 years ago. And as long as you feel separated and alienated in your mind, and you still feel like, you know, something other than what God is, you will never come into the fullness of what has been provided for you at the cross. Amen. You see, our mind definitely needs redeemed. But what we need, and you know, a lot of people are fighting this concept about us awakening to who we are. But you know, the Apostle Paul said, awake, you who are sleeping. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you. If you are not walking in the realization of being a son of God on the earth, then you are sleeping and you need to wake up. And when you awake in his likeness. I'll never forget, I know I mentioned last night that on July 11th, 1982, not that many years ago, I awoke with the realization of many of the things that I'm sharing today. Things that had been bothering me for years, habits and lusts and things that have been bothering me for years. When I awoke in his likeness, those things fell at my feet.
Hallelujah.
Many of you have heard me share how that, you know, for 13 years as a Christian, I was horribly addicted to nicotine. And there's no way that I could break it. And I used to tell God all the time, when you come, you see, I wasn't expecting at that time Jesus to appear within me. I was expecting him to come in the heavens. And I would say to him many times in tears, I know that when you come, I'll probably fall in shame before you. You're coming because there's no way that I can give up this nicotine. I can't do it. But on July 11th, 1982, I awoke, and after years of struggle and tears and begging and pleading and fasting and crying, I awoke in his likeness. Never again did I have a desire, not only for nicotine, but for all of those other lustful things that had me in captivity. God began to reveal to me, well, before that, but that's when I began to walk in some of the reality of it, of being a son of God.
Hallelujah.
And I began to realize the value of Calvary. And God began to reveal to me how he looks at us, that Christ was the last Adam. There are no longer mortal human beings born on this earth. There are only incarnations of God. And I know how that sounds. In Colossians 1:20, I think we read this once this weekend, but let's do it again. Colossians 1, verse 20, says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That is how you are born. Yet we are told and expected by almost all of creation that we are born with this sin consciousness and expected to be sinners. And because we have never been told the truth, we've accepted the lie. Thank God the lie is being exposed. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. There is no one in heaven or in earth that can bring any guilt or condemnation to you. Once you realize the magnitude of Calvary's victory, and you understand that this humanistic life that you've been living all of your life is not the real you, but you are the incorruptible, indestructible seed of God on the earth, I'll tell you, the more you have the realization of that, the more our inner man is strengthened day by day, and this outward man, this man that is lodged in your consciousness, that is full of defeat and failure and hang-ups and alienated from God, will fall at your feet. Without any effort on your part at all.
Yes, hallelujah.
See, the Christian life was never meant to be a struggle as it has been for most of us all of our lives. You see, a person who views themselves as a human being finds it almost impossible to walk the God kind of life because we believe ourselves to be that person, that separate, that alienated person from God. Even though, I can't stress this enough because you know this is true, no matter how much you love God, if you're not willing to accept all that which He has provided and which He has said unto you, if you're not willing to turn away from that which you feel is real unto that which you know is real, you can't experience these things. Because the natural mind will not let you. And I know that, you know, Christians that have been Christians for years and love God and go to church and do all those things, they do not realize that they still have a natural mind. And that is what is killing you. The spiritual mind is one who recognizes and walks in the reality of the mind of Christ. Everyone today, everyone has the mind of Christ. And we can... I use the word learn for lack of a better word. It's not that you learn these things, but I believe it's more by practice and application that we can begin to walk in the reality of the mind of Christ, which we have. But we cannot do it as long as we still allow the thoughts that enter our mind to tell us the lie. That is what must be dealt with. Having made peace through the blood of His cross to reconcile all things. I'll tell you what, folks, this message changes people. We had an instance, I was telling Brother Bob, where somebody in a mental institution got one of our books, and by reading the book, they immediately had a tremendous recovery. And the people in the mental institution, they already knew that most of the Christians in that place, or most of the people in that place were Christians. Why are Christians there? Because of the lie.
Amen.
They know what they are supposed to be. They know what their life is supposed to be, but they cannot measure up. I suffered under manic depression for a long time because of it. I know what it's like. Thank God I never ended up in a mental ward, but many Christians do. Well, this one person, by reading this one book called Coming Out of Condemnation, God delivered them, began to work in their life, and they began to have hope again. Well, this mental institution then wrote to us and ordered two of our books for every patient in that institution. You see, that is the power of the gospel. But listen, Paul said the gospel of God is the power of God unto deliverance. And the only thing that will really set you free is for you to hear the word, the living and abiding word of God, for you to receive that word and then just let it settle in you. Meditate on it. Think about it. I'm not asking you to just blanketly receive everything that is said this weekend. Put it on the shelf if you have to, but meditate on it. Go to God with it. Because once the light of God penetrates into you and you realize that you are everything in your heart that you want to be and you're crying to God to be, everything that you desire you already are. But we have to have the veils removed from our eyes. You know how much religious tradition that we're going against by telling people they're not born sinners? Yet the Bible teaches that very thing without using those words. But at the cross, the old creation ended. And a new creation came into being. That's why, again, Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away.
Amen.
Well, have the old things passed away in your life? If they haven't, you've heard the gospel, but you haven't heard the gospel. You've received the mixed gospel. One who tells you Christ is in you, but you still have this old nature and this old Adam to deal with. And so you get into that striving and struggling to make this old image of yourself into that which you believe God is. You see that again, that's the lie of the serpent. You cannot try to make yourself something that you already are. Oh God, give us a revelation. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 47, it says the first man is of earth, of the earth. Adam was the body, the form from the dust of the earth, and the first man is of the earth. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. In other words, you believe that you've been born of natural parents, and you've accepted this consciousness of being a human being that is really separated from God and unable to do that which your heart longs to do. That's the earthy man. That's the man in Romans chapter 7. But as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You know, that's one of my most, that's really a promise. And I'll never forget when I first saw that. This verse literally says, if you have borne this image of the earthly, if you have borne this image of being an Adamic human being, living in this world of separation and sin and sickness and disease and all of this stuff that goes with it, if you have borne that image of the earthly, you shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Absolutely no conditions on that.
Hallelujah.
If you have borne this earthly image in this consciousness of sin and separation and defeat and failure and disease and heartache and anger and resentment and bitterness, if you have borne this image of this earthly Adam, you shall also bear the image of the heavenly man.
Hallelujah.
The man who knows that he is God's son on this earth. The man who knows that there is no such thing any longer as sin, sickness, disease, and death. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to look at your body? Or are you going to be as Abraham, who considered not his own body as good as dead, but believed him who had promised? Because you see that God promised Abraham a son. And that son came through no effort. That son came through a prophet, through a word of the Lord. And that son would come to him in due time. But the son of the flesh, you know, Ishmael represents the Adamic man. Isaac represents the heavenly man. So Abraham, in his own way, in his own carnal thinking, produced an Ishmael, believing that it was what God had promised him. And Abraham got so upset and said, oh God, I would that you would bless Ishmael. I want you to bless the work of my hands. I want you to bless this Adamic human personality that I've become. Well, God said, I'll bless Ishmael, but my promise is still to Isaac. You see, in Isaac, everything comes to you by inheritance. And as a son of God, as the incorruptible seed on this earth, you receive by promise, by inheritance, everything that God is, without any struggle, without any prayer, without any fasting, without all the religious jargon. Just because you are a son of God, you receive everything that he is. That's what his name means. I am that I am. whatever you need. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sin, being dead to the things of God, being dead in this Adamic human consciousness, you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When did that happen? 2,000 years ago. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat and drink, respect to a holy day, the new moon, the Sabbath day. Let no man judge you. 2,000 years ago, sin ended at the cross. We keep it alive because we look at that which we can see rather than believe that which God has spoken. Who told you you were a sinner? And who told you you were a human being? I want to mention this one more time. It could never be mentioned enough. But remember, the seed of God is the incorruptible seed, and every seed produces after its own kind. It is impossible for the seed of God in you to reproduce a carnal human being. It produces in you the indestructible life of God. You cannot plant a seed of God and reap a human being. You see, that's the lie that we've accepted. And because it's so real, we believe, you know, really, a good illustration of this Adamic person that we think we are is hypnotism. Most of you are probably familiar with hypnotism. Have you heard the story of the man who was brought on the stage and hypnotized and told there was a white dog at his feet? And he was told to put a collar on this dog. He was told to do different things. And this guy would go through all the actions because he saw the white dog. And all of a sudden, the guy that hypnotized told him, he said, this dog now is a mad dog, and he's trying to bite you. And the guy literally ran all over the stage in panic, trying to get away from this dog that was trying to bite him on the leg. But at the snap of his finger, the man awoke from his dream and realized there was no white dog. I'm telling you, folks, when you wake up, you'll realize there was never no such thing as an Adamic human being. You've been hypnotized by accepting the lie of the serpent. Oh, that we're waking up. Who told you you were a sinner? Ephesians 1:3, Paul begins to tell you in Ephesians chapter 1 who you really are and what you really have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not will, but has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Is that true? If before the world began, if before the disruption of the world, God chose you in him, how could you be a failure? Only if you have not really accepted and had a revelation of these words. Now, some people teach that there's only a few people that this was meant for. But listen, all of us were chosen in God before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the cross made that a reality. That's why I say, the last man Adam, Christ was the last man Adam, and there will never be another one. All there are now is Christ's on the earth. You are born as Christ on the earth. And as we shared on Friday night, if you have never been taught anything but that, and you were raised expecting that everything within you, as you grow, everything in you would begin to manifest that which God is, you would quickly see this whole planet redeemed from the bondage of corruption. Because men's perception of themselves would be changed. And again, you say, but are you saying we don't need the cross? Because it sounds like you're offering salvation without redemption. No, I'm not. You have been redeemed. You don't need to be redeemed again. You need to awake out of this stupor of sleep and hypnotism. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, Paul says. It's simply a matter, and it's nothing we can do in ourselves, but I'll tell you, God today is speaking that living and abiding Word of God that will cause your spirit to arise out of the darkness and come forth a shining example of what God is on this earth. I mentioned this the other night, but I don't think we actually read the verse in Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. You see, as soon as you're willing to turn away and lose this personal sense of an I, this personal ego thing, that is what has to fall into the ground. And as long as you cling on to your earthly humanistic existence, you won't find your real life. But as soon as you find within your being the Spirit of God arising, and you begin then to turn away from all that which is mortal, all that which is humanistic in your thinking, all that which is failure and defeat, and you begin to turn and focus everything upon that which you are, the incorruptible seed of God on this earth, then that inner man begins to arise, and that outer man begins to fall at your feet. It's not that difficult. It's not something, you know, if we were told that, and we really believe this, but if we were told, listen, you need to pray for about 3 hours a day for a year, and read 10 chapters a day for 5 years, and then you'll be just like Christ. If we really believe that, we would do it. It's not necessary to do anything. The work has been done. The works, it's said, was finished from the very foundation of the earth. That's Hebrews chapter 4. It says that there is a rest in Hebrews chapter 4 for the people of God. And that rest is because they begin to have a realization and an understanding that the works were finished from the very foundation of the world. How else could you rest if you did not know that everything that you could possibly need, everything is already accomplished for you? If you're constantly being concerned about your condition, about your health, about all of these things, how can you rest? But if you know that all things were finished from the foundation of the world, and you have been born as an incorruptible seed on this earth, and everything in that seed will reproduce in you everything that you need, you can rest. And if your body acts up in a way that's not, you know, if your body, whatever happens to you, if you can learn not to focus your attention on that, but look unto Him who has spoken, we cannot fail. Overcomers aren't made, they're born. There are 7 promises to overcomers in the book of Revelation. But listen, you cannot be anything but an overcomer once you awake. The Spirit of God in you can't do anything but overcome. You are born an overcomer. Here's an interesting verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Are you telling me that in my condition, and look at the world out here, and you're telling me that the cross is the answer for all of that? And look at the appearance. That's the problem, folks. We look at the appearance. I've often shared that if you take a rose and cut it off a rose bush, that rose looks very much alive. But the moment you cut off its life source, it is dead. Well, 2,000 years ago, the life source of the Adamic man was cut off. And he may look very much alive to you. And the appearance of evil may be all around you, but I can guarantee you it's only a false image, because the Adamic man was dealt a death blow at Calvary, and Christ was that last Adam. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Well, why don't you experience the power of God in your life? Because you haven't had a revelation of the cross. Love Jesus. We worship Jesus. We go to church, but we don't know the value, the magnitude of Calvary's victory. Because the cross put an end to everything in the universe that is ungodly. And we can walk in the knowledge of that, or we can walk in the knowledge, or what we sense is our alienation and separation from God. Mainly we feel that way because we don't feel like we measure up. Well, if you then be risen with Christ in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, now see, this is what the scriptures teach us. We are already resurrected in Christ. We have the resurrected, transcendent life of God within us. So if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection, your attention, your heart on things above, not on the things of the earth. Don't look at those things on the earth. Don't look with this carnal mentality. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Well, I think we all know where God is appearing, don't we? He's appearing in you and in me. Oh, my. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Well, until you're ready to give up that concept that you have of yourself, and be of Abraham, who considered not the things that he saw, but he considered him who had promised as one being able to do that which he promised. Beloved, now, in 1 John 3:2, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I love that verse, because when you see him as he is, you'll be like him. Why? Because you will see him as yourself. You will see that there's no separation, there is no distinction, there is not two entities on this world, there is only one, and it is Christ. We are one with Christ. That's why Paul said, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. People talk about the human spirit, again, as though it's something, you know, separate from God. But your spirit, if it has been joined to the Lord, if it has been quickened by the power of God, if you are awakening in his likeness, there are not two spirits, there are only one spirit. So think of it, folks. If your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one spirit, how could you be a mere carnal human being? When the full realization of this hits us, how could we be sick physically? How could we have all of these hang-ups and these impossible? When Christ shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Well, this man of sin that we talked a little bit about in 2 Thessalonians, it says, let no man deceive you, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see, that's your human identity, sitting in the temple of God, really not admitting the truth of your being. And governing your own life and running your own life according to a knowledge of good and evil. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God send them strong delusion. What is the delusion? That the cross really wasn't effectual? Oh, we believe it. But the delusion is that we're still independent beings operating apart from God. Even some of our songs, I thought of one particular song that says, you are God in heaven, I am here on earth. Beautiful song, but it shows that even in our worship, we have an Adamic mindset. You are God in heaven, and I am on earth. That has been our concept. But let me, if your spirit and the Holy Spirit is one spirit, how could God be one place and you be another? You see, that's why Paul says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not someday, not after you leave this earth, but right now. So thank God we are being awakened to righteousness. The only reason that if you are a Christian and you manifest all of these traits of unrighteousness, it simply means that you, well, number one, you don't understand Calvary. Because I guarantee you, if you understand Calvary, and you understand God is not holding you accountable for sin, that alone will release you from its grip and its power. It is only in you trying to overcome with this humanistic mindset that gives strength to that power of sin in your life. And the more you try to overcome it, the more it'll have you in its grasp. That's why Paul said that the strength of sin is in the law. You want to give strength to sin? You put somebody under the law and tell them they can't do it. They give strength. Or do it to yourself. To give strength to the sin in your life. The strong delusion. You see, if you're not willing, if you reject the word of who you are, and you reject the thought that you are God on this earth, or that you are a manifestation of who he is on this earth, the only thing left for you is that strong delusion of the lie that you are a human being, and try the best you will, go to church as much as you want, do all the right things and everything right, and you'll still be living in that delusion of being separate and alienated from God, trying your very best through the knowledge of good and evil to gain back that place in God where you can be one with him. That's the delusion. The work has been done. It is finished. It is over. What could you possibly add to Christ? When you begin to live out of a Christ identity, out of that incorruptible seed, you tell me that Christ needs processing. You tell me that Jesus needed sickness in his body to process him into the kingdom. I don't think so. Yet we've accepted why. I've done it. And my mind is still somewhat. But thank God I've learned not to look at that which is seen through the physical eyes. For that which is seen is temporal and it will change. But that which is unseen is eternal, everlasting. That incorruptible seed. I'm going to close repeating this one more time. That it is impossible for the incorruptible seed to grow up in you and produce a human being that is a separate entity from what God is. The seed, the incorruptible seed, can only produce God on this earth. Are you willing to receive that? Because if you are, if you can open to God and say, oh God, many times I've cried out to God. I've spent weeks praying for God. Open my eyes. Oh God, open the eyes of my understanding. I knew these things before I ever began to walk in them. And I would say, oh God, open my understanding. Reveal to me that that same power that's in Jesus Christ now dwells within me. I know it, but I want to walk in it. But I didn't know that to walk in it, I had to deny everything that I thought I was in the human being. And that's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 7 when he said, if you do that you don't want to do, it's not you. It's not you. You see, that's your way out of that. As long as you identify with the habit, the sin, the problem, the lust, as long as you identify with that and say, that's me, as long as you identify with your sickness, well, no matter what it is, as long as you line up your identity with that which is humanistic, it'll never happen for you. Because I am not a human being on this earth. I am the indestructible, incorruptible seed of God. And that seed of God cannot produce sickness and disease and separation and heartache and bitterness and resentment. Because they would not believe the truth, they were sent a lie. A strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Well, let's stop believing the lie and believe that He is faithful who has promised. He is faithful who has spoken, I have chosen you before the foundation of the world.
Yes, Lord.
And you are holy and without blame. I have seated you in heavenly places. I have given you rule, dominion, and authority over all that is in your realm. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, we know who the Lord is, Jesus Christ, but He is the Lord of lords. We are His Christ on this earth, and let us go forth in that reality. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. You will be
Yes, I'll take.